The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast at William Hill's Premier League look at the weekend's football. We've got 10 live matches this weekend as per usual, and we'll start off with the televised games in just a few moments' time. But first of all, it's a good morning to Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. I'm almost too embarrassed to come on after last week's selections. Dear me, I think Roy Hodgson picked them for me. God, you were absolutely awful. I've never been so confident about a weekend football programme. And I think I got one right out of 10. I thought for a week I was you.
It wasn't that bad, surely, oh, Derek.
Yeah. DK got one right as well. It was the only one he put up, wasn't it? The Nap.
What one was it?
He had Burnley to beat QPR, so he's now top of the table
now.
Jesus. Yeah, so I'm happy to be here this Friday morning, chaps. I'm looking forward to this week. Mr. Phelps, good morning to you as well.
You well?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
It's my favourite hour of the week, so I'm delighted to be here.
Good stuff.
You hear the sincerity?
It sounded particularly insincere.
Well, it's actually the truth. So, yeah, I just want to put that out there. I didn't mean it to sound as insincere as it did.
No, we believe you. We believe you, Mr. Thanks. Phelps.
All you have to do is fake sincerity and you've got it made.
Let's start off with this match on Saturday evening then. 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Newcastle taking on Southampton. Newcastle 21-10. The draw 21-10. Southampton 7-5. Headline offers, Iotse Perez to score and Newcastle to win is 6-1. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 3-1. Newcastle, Lee, have only lost one of their last nine at St James's Park. Performance away at Chelsea last weekend, a lot better than the scoreline suggested. Beaten 2-0 in that match, but played well in the first half in particular. And every time John Carver's interviewed now, post-match, he seemingly makes an impassioned plea for the job. I don't know if he's going to get it or not, but he's definitely thrown his hat into the ring.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting watching Match of the Day that Tim Krul came out and he was, you know, they asked him the question, you know, what's John Carver like? Do you want him to be the new manager? And rather than just kind of straight batting it, he gave him a glowing recommendation. He was like, he's honest, is this, is that, I'd love to have him as the manager, blah, we all like him. And to be fair, from the performance, you'd have to say it looked like they were all playing for him. Obviously, you know, they lost 2-0 in the end, but I thought it was a good spirited performance. I think what we said though before that game was that scoring goals is going to be their problem. And I think it will be again here. I know they got Iotse Perez up front. He's been struggling a little bit with an injury recently. But, you know, needs must. They've got so many players out Newcastle at the moment. I mean, some of them, not all of them, are you know, guaranteed first-teamers. But you're talking like double figures in terms of their injuries. Obviously, Tiote's away. Cisse's away as well. So I think this is going to be if John Carver wants the job as much as we all think he does, not losing this game is key. If he gets a draw against Southampton at home, bearing in mind that the results that Southampton have been picking up, i.e. going to Man United and winning, beating Arsenal 2-0, drawing with Chelsea, I think that'll be a good result for John Carver's chances of getting the job. So I think they're going to look for a draw. I think Southampton, with their new injuries, will be happy to do what they've been doing, which is, you know, keep the ball, keep it tight, not concede too many goals, try and nick one and sit on it. They did that at Man United. They did it against Ipswich as well. You know, they only conceded one goal at Palace. Even in the bad run, they weren't getting spanked by anyone. They've only conceded more than one goal once in the Premier League this season, and that was at Liverpool on that first away game of the season. So I'm going to go for unders and the goals, and I'm going to have a little sneaky chance on under 1.5 here. I think we could have a 0-0, to be honest with you. But 1-0 Southampton would be my pick. I'd go with Southampton just to nick this one.
Under 1.5 goals is 9-4. Under 2.5 goals is 4-6. Derek, Lee mentioned the injuries. Those two results against Manchester United and Ipswich have come at a cost. Victor Wanyama and Morgan Schneiderlin likely to be out for this match at the weekend, two of their most influential players.
Yeah, it's one reason why you can't back him in this game. The other reason is the price. I think they're very short, 7-5. I mean, they're like herpes, Southampton. They just won't go away. I mean, when they had that blip before Christmas, I thought, yeah, get back to mid-table where you belong. But there they are, still in third place with, you know, almost two-thirds of the season fast approaching. But those two, they are two very influential players for them, and I can't really back them here. I thought Newcastle were great against Chelsea last week. I mean, people no longer laugh at Newcastle, even when they bring Scholl and Amiobi on. I mean, that's how well they've been doing this season. Did you notice, by the way, you know when they beat Everton 3-2, three of their fans got booked for putting their shirt back on in celebration? It was just, wonder how many will be going shirtless this weekend in Newcastle. I'm going to go for the draw here. I looked at the price and thought, if I could get maybe 11-4, 3-1 Newcastle, I'd have a dabble, but 21 to the same price as the draw, and Lee makes a persuasive case for the stalemate. Yeah, I'm going for that one too.
The draw in the market at 21-10. Let's have a look at West Ham then. West Ham versus Hull is the televised match, 1:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. West Ham are 3-4, the draw 5-2, Hull in the market at 4-1. Headline offers here: Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win is 5-2. Sonny Aluko to score and Hull to win is 12-1. Derek, West Ham have had a few difficulties hanging on to leads recently. No doubt that's something that Sam Allardyce has been focusing on in the lead up to this match. The last four matches, they've opened the scoring and the opposition has come back to draw those matches. It was a fantastic cup tie, wasn't it, on Tuesday night against Everton. Loved Adrian taking his gloves off before that winning penalty. Yeah, bit of showmanship there. I thought that was fantastic. You can look at West Ham's form one of two ways, I suppose. They've lost just one of nine at home, but they've only won one of their last six as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, they haven't, have they? Well, that's counting the penalty shootout, you mean, is that? Because I'm looking at 4-1-1 draws in 90 minutes. This is a 2-1 defeat by Arsenal and a 2-0 defeat by Chelsea.
Yeah.
So,
where's the win, DK? That's what he's asking. Where's the win?
Hull are doing my
nuts. He's putting an edit in here, Derek.
I'm checking my numbers now, Derek. I've got the abacus out here.
Well, you're counting the penalty shootout win, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it was a win. Come on, they came through in the end, didn't they?
We're talking 90 minutes for betting purposes.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, Hull. Look at Hull. I mean, I don't know what to think about them. I mean, they've cost me a fortune this season because I keep expecting them to come back, you know, and be as good as their squad suggests they can be. But look, some of the results recently have been diabolical, the performances too, and yet, interspersed with four defeats there's a win over Everton and a win over Sunderland, convincing wins as well. I just can't catch them right. What I'm saying is that I'm tempted to go for Hull at 4-1 because that's the kind of price I'm prepared to have a go at, that they will catch it right. But they could throw in a performance like they did last time against West Brom, or, you know, the one against Leicester.
Mm.
I know instinctively I can't be backing West Ham at 8-11, sorry. So therefore, I'm going to go for the value. I mean, I can't make a logical case for Hull here, except at 4-1. My gut instinct says it's too big.
I was talking Premier League football, Derek.
I'll give you that one.
I can't believe he's still looking at it. I forgot about it.
West Ham are 3-4 to win this game, Lee. Mm. Hull, it has been tough, as Derek mentioned, to catch Hull, because those losses against Leicester and West Brom don't read well, do they? Those are games that it's imperative to pick up points, and they haven't.
Yeah, true. But the problem with Hull this week is that despite the money they spent on building a bigger squad, they are really looking very scratchy up front. Obviously, we know that the two main, you know, first-choice strikers, Hernandez and Jelovic, are both missing. Aluko, he's a headline offer. He's only returned to training this week. Same with Gaston Ramirez as well. We could be looking at a situation here, if they don't make it, of Tom Ince up front here, or Robbie Brady even up front. They're not strikers, and surely he'll be going there, Steve Bruce, thinking we're not going to go there and outscore them the way West Ham can score goals. I think he'll go there and look to get a 0-0. Kind of maybe a similar way to the went to Anfield and got that 0-0 draw at Anfield. The problem for them, though, is that I think that's the only game. Maybe, I don't know, there was the first away game when they beat QPR 1-0. They're the only two games where they've kept clean sheets. They conceded two at Villa, two at Newcastle, two at Arsenal, one at Burnley, three at Man U, one at Everton, two at Chelsea, one at Sunderland and one at West Brom. It's not the best for me. I think West Ham, like, I agree with both of you, the form isn't as good as, you know, people are still saying, oh, West Ham, what a great season. Well, you know, they're not looking at the last few weeks of results, but I think they'll get back onto it here. I think that penalty shootout win will have given them a lot of confidence.
really impressed with Andy Carroll. I'm not a biggest fan of Andy Carroll, but the way he's come back into this team since injury, I think he's been what everyone wanted him to be all the way along, a strong, dominant force in the box. You wouldn't want to defend against someone like Andy Carroll in this kind of form. And I like the headline offer, to be honest with you. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win 5-2. I also like West Ham to win and four or more goals in a match.
Do you really?
I think it could be 3-1 or something here. I think Hull are in a bit of bother here with this team. The other one I'd really like is, you know how you get these players who don't score for ages? They get one and then you want to, you know, they come like buses, don't they? They get another one next week. I'm looking for a price on Adrian. But they haven't listed him on here. He's never scored before. He's bound to get another one now, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, Hull have only got 2 points away from home, less than Man United.
Yeah, I know.
You know, poor though they've been, they are capable of turning it on a day. And 4-1 to beat the West Ham side, they weren't really firing.
Are you back to sticking it to Manchester United now then, Derek, after going with them last week?
What's going on with that? It's just, Blackface just hasn't got a clue, has he?
What I would say though, Derek, you're right. I mean, they got a draw at Newcastle, they got a draw at Arsenal. But in those good results, you know, one of the goals was scored by Jelovic in the 2-2 draw in Newcastle. One was scored by Hernandez in the 2-2 draw with Arsenal. I just don't think they've got the firepower this week, unfortunately for them. Even like, you know, you look at the 3-1 win at Sunderland, which was a really good win. Jelovic scored in that game as well.
Well, he definitely are. They definitely. I don't. I'm not having Jelovic anyway. I think Hull's chances improve like when he's not playing. But
six weeks out there, both of them. Could be tricky. I mean, they haven't got the goals, and they let too many in away from. That's what I'm thinking of. I agree with you on the West Ham price, but I think they'll get back on it this weekend.
Okay, difference of opinion there then. West Ham for Lee at 3-4, and Derek going with Hull at 4-1. The 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday is Manchester City versus Arsenal. Manchester City are 5-6. The draw 14-5. Arsenal 3-1. Lee, we've talked numerous times about this Arsenal side and their failures against the top clubs. They did beat Liverpool 2-0 last season, but in recent history they've struggled against City, Chelsea and Manchester United. Their away form is patchy as well. Mm. 4 wins, 4 losses and 3 draws from their 11 away in the league this season. This is a difficult matchup for Arsenal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't think they beat Liverpool away from home, did they, last season? I was looking at their away record and I make it against the current top six. They've only won one game since, I think it's the 29th of October 2011. And that includes Southampton, by the way. That last win was in 2011 against Chelsea. The only win they've had against any of the top six since then is against Tottenham when they beat them 1-0.
Away from home.
Yes. So, I mean, you're right. They've got serious problems away from home. They're a bit... We know they're weak. They're missing Arteta, who's a bit of a protective foil for the defence. They're also missing Debuchy, who is arguably their... Well, he's their best centre back, but he's arguably one of their best defenders. You know, Per Mertesacker, as we have discussed over and over again, he's going to struggle against this Manchester City side, I think. I mean, you know, we've talked about over the recent weeks how they like to get to the byline, they cut the ball back. If they are doing that, if they're able to get to the Arsenal's byline and cut the ball back, Mertesacker would have to do a 3-point turn to have a look what Nasri or Silva's doing coming in. There's no way they'll be able to cope with that. If Aguero's anywhere near full fitness, I don't think they'll be able to cope either. On the other side of it, Arsenal have got such great attacking talent. You know, they do score goals away from home. They're right up there in the shots on goal and on target stats away from home as well. They've conceded the fewest, or among the fewest shots on their goal away from home. So defensively, they don't allow teams very many chances. I just think City will outscore them. I mean, it was 6-3 last year, wasn't it?
Obviously. Yep.
I remember putting up the over 8.5 and I was amazed it came off, to be honest. So I'm going to go for the over 7.5 this year. Just go a bit, you know, a bit more Colin cautious. No, I'm going to go Man City to win the game and over 2.5 goals in the match. I'm not sure Arsenal will score, but you know, the better price will be the match result and both teams to score at 21-10.
Yes.
So anyone who's got, you know, really thinks that they will score, then the Arsenal will score, then that will be the bet for you. But the other one, very quickly, is Sami Nasri. I've been really impressed with him recently. He's playing really well. He's one of those players who gets on those balls that get cut back. With no Yaya Touré, I think he'll get more opportunities against his former club, of course. Bit of a mug bet. 13-8 to score any time. Not the best price in the world, but I like it.
And if you're looking at Manchester City to win and over 2.5 goals in the game, that's priced at 5-4 here with Hills. Derek, I've been a great Arsene Wenger sympathiser over the years, yeah. But they do seem to lack tactical nous in these big matches.
Yeah, they do. But I think it's a good time to be playing City, you know, without Touré there. And I really don't think they're firing on all cylinders. You know, I can't remember a real commanding City performance of late. Even their wins have been narrow.
Yeah.
And you think back at that 2-2 draw against Burnley. The 1-1 draw against Everton doesn't read well, even though they dominated.
Both without Touré, by the way, Derek.
I read somewhere that they haven't won a league game without Touré since last April, which sounds terrible, but then, of course, you have to remember that they wouldn't have played that many league games without Touré.
I think I read the same article, and I was saying to DK, it's a great headline. It lured me in. They didn't list any of the games.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're never sure, are you, how many that is? It exactly. Might be three or four, but yeah. Whatever. You know, he is a force in the midfield.
Well, every time you watch him when he's on Blobby, he's just, you know, he's unstoppable. We all know that. Aguero, there's no bigger admirer of him than me. But you know, he's not quite at it yet, is he? Since his injury, I'm a critic of Arsenal. I just think I can't believe the free ride Wenger gets in the press for winning bugger all for, you know, decades. But I was really impressed with them last week against Stoke. I mean, that was to be honest, I thought that was the best Arsenal performance I've seen in a long time. I really was impressed.
Against so did Stoke. Mark Hughes. He couldn't take his eyes off it, could he?
Yeah.
Never moved, did he?
I know. Something sat bringing me towards Arsenal here, you know. 4-1 about a side with such attacking riches. I mean, I know they're always liable to concede, but they opened my eyes to them last week. I thought, God, you know, they're a better side than I've given them credit for.
Derek.
Hull are a better side than I've given Arsenal credit for in recent seasons.
Yeah, that's not hard, is it?
Yeah, I just think that's too bad. I think the prices are too big here. I'm going to go for Arsenal again. It's a bit of a Hull syndrome here. I think Hull, I just think the odds are not right.
Okay, Arsenal for Derek, Manchester City. For Lee, could play the draws in those last two games. No doubt.
Yeah. The interesting thing here is that we'll come on to Chelsea, but if you think they'll win their game, and Man City don't win this one, all that hard work that they've done to claw Chelsea back is kind of undone again.
It is,
because there'll be another gap that's developed. That's more than one, you know, one result. So I think Man City will be on it. I just think they've got so much more nous than Arsenal, but it is a good price. I mean, you look at Arsenal 3-1 anywhere, and you'd have to give it serious consideration, don't you?
Yeah.
Everton West Brom is the evening kickoff on Monday at 8 p.m. Everton 10-11, the draw 11-5, West Brom 7-2. Derek, only 1 point separates these two sides in the league. Everton just picked up 22 points from their 21 matches, while West Brom just a point back in 14th. Seen a little bit more from Everton in their last three starts. That gallant comeback against Man City to pick up a point in the league last week, and that performance sandwiched in between the two cup ties against West Ham where they came back. Is Roberto Martinez starting to get a tune out of them now or not?
Well, no, is the short answer, because when was the last time they won a game? I can't remember, certainly not in the last six. And you know, the only game they should, you know, you'd have said they'll definitely lose in that. Well, they drew it after their turn. That was Man City. I mean, they've only played West Ham a couple of times, Hull, Newcastle, and Stoke, and not got anything out of any of them. We're being asked to back them our odds on here against the West Brom side, who, you know, we're not pulling up any trees. We know that, and they've got the problems, but they're unbeaten in three, albeit one of them in against a non-league side. Again. You know, I like weekends like this when bookies are giving you a chance of a decent payout about sides who if they win at certain grounds, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world, and yet you get decent odds. West Brom win at Goodison wouldn't surprise me that much. They won there about three seasons ago, the way Everton are playing right now, and yet you're getting 7-2. I mean, that's my kind of bet wrapped up in a nutshell there. I'm going to go for baggies here.
West Brom for Derek at 7-2, Lee.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's 1-9 in the Premier League for Everton at the minute, and there's been a lot of losses. The win was against QPR at home, which, you know, everyone beats QPR at home, don't they?
They weren't even impressive that night.
No,
though,
they weren't. West Brom. So when Tony Pulis went in at Crystal Palace, I've had a look at what he did away from home for them. Obviously, they were losing a lot more games, in a lot worse a situation than West Brom are. But they scored and they won the first away game against Hull 1-0, and they only conceded three goals in four away games when he went to the club. And two of those were against Chelsea. They lost Chelsea 2-1. So, you know, we know what he's about, don't we? I'm imagining that the defenders, probably all the team, are sponsored by Anadin at the minute. They're probably heading the ball that much this week in training. He's about discipline, he's about teamwork, and he's about them listening to him. He'll be barking from the touchline. I think a point here for West Brom would be, I think he'd see that as success. So I think he'll go with his team and they'll set up strong and look for Berahino to if he gets a couple of three chances, to nick one of them. And actually, I think Everton might think of this game in a similar way. They can't lose this game, Derek.
No.
They cannot lose to West Brom at home, can they? Otherwise, Martinez surely would be getting... there'd be even more pressure on him. I think that'd be a disastrous result. I mean, we're recording this on Friday. Everton are 3 points from the drop zone. Conceivably, by kickoff, they could be a lot closer than that if results go against them. West Brom are a point worse off than Everton. But I think this is a much bigger game for Everton. I think the fear of losing might just mean that they don't go too gung-ho at this one. I think it's going to be a low-scoring draw. I think if it gets to 60 minutes and it's something like 1-1, I don't think Everton are going to go and try and win this game. Despite the way Martinez likes to set his team up. You look at the recent results, you mentioned it, they've been coming from behind. I have seen, you know, improvements. There's a brilliant article for anyone who's interested in Everton. There's a really good article on thepremierleague.com. It's by a guy called Adrian Clark, and he dissects Everton's season so far. Stats are unbelievable. The amount of unforced errors they've committed this season, the top of that table, whereas I think they were like 17th last season. And some of the other stats, the shots they're allowing their opponents inside the box, they've allowed 30 so far.
Yep.
31 in the whole of last season, and it goes on.
It's the
like
same
this.
With the goals, isn't it?
Just, I mean, every bit of it. I mean, and he looks at age of players and how they're performing, the performance levels. Honestly, it's really worth having a look at.
Does he mention Gareth Barry in that article?
Yeah,
he's gone, hasn't he?
Well, he's created so many fewer chances. It's amazing to look at, and he's not the only one though. There's a lot. Also talks about how Martinez hasn't got the same combinations on the wing that was what. You know, providing so many chances. So I do think there are improvements from Everton, but I think the organisation of Pulis will find it hard to break down. So the 1-1 draw at 6-1 I like. I do like Sadio Berahino to score. I think he's been in really good nick. He's got 5 in his last 3, admittedly 3 of them were against non-league Gateshead, but you know, it looks like he's back to somewhere near his best. It's the window. He's obviously trying to put himself in the shop window, even though they say he's not going nowhere. 2-1 to score any time. I quite like that. But in a game of few goals, you might not want to go for that one. I'll go for the draw.
That was noticeable in that cup tie at Upton Park as well, Derek. That Alex Song was picking the ball up on his own box and running virtually unchallenged into the opposition half. They're so open this season, Everton.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, other than the fact that it's a Martinez team. But yeah, they do look wide open.
Okay, let's look at the non-televised games this weekend then. All these Saturday at 3 p.m. Swansea versus Chelsea. First up, Swansea 6-1. The draw 13-5. Chelsea. In the market here at 4-7. Gomez to score and Swansea to win is 8-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win is in the market at 6-4 here, Lee. I suppose this game revolves around how highly you rate Swansea, because if you think they're a top 6, top 7 side, then Chelsea could be opposable here, because they've only won one of their last 5 away from home in the league, lost at Newcastle and at Tottenham, and drew away at Southampton and Sunderland. So if you do rate Swansea, there's an opportunity to be against Chelsea.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they'll obviously miss Boney's goals. He's obviously gone to Africa and then City, hasn't he? So a third of the goals have been scored by him in total, and a third of the goals at home have been scored by him as well. So you wonder, will they be able to... Even if they got a goal scorer, even if someone else chips in, even if Gomez scores, will they have enough players who are good enough to score 2? And I think you'd need to get 2 to at least get a draw out of Chelsea. Look, you'd imagine that the clever thing to do here would be to go really defensive and stop Chelsea playing at home, wouldn't it? But I don't know if they'll do that, Swansea. I mean, the game last season, it was only 1-0. It took them until the 70th minute nearly to score, Chelsea. And Swansea were down to 10 men after 15 minutes. The year before that, Swansea in the League Cup, it was 0-0. It was only 1-1 the season before that. So, and they've beaten Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in recent years. So they're not a bad team. I just wonder if they'll have the firepower this time. The other thing is, I don't know why I think this, but I've got a feeling they might try and overcompensate with Boney's loss. Like, oh yeah, it won't affect us that much. If they try and play Chelsea, they'll get picked apart, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah, and I think that's what they might do. I don't know if the manager would want to do that. I think the players might do that. So I'm going to go for... I think Chelsea will win this game. I think it could be overs as well, to be fair. Chelsea and over 2.5 is what I'm looking at here. I know they're not being great, Chelsea, away from home, but they have to start, really getting into this now. They had the 5-3 at Tottenham, didn't they? The 1-1 at Southampton. Yeah, I'll go for Chelsea and over 2.5 at 29-20.
Chelsea to win and over 2.5 is 29-20. Your thoughts, Derek?
My thoughts are Chelsea are too short, 4-7 to beat the Swansea side, who don't, they're not my favourite team, but they don't lose too many Swansea. In fact, they've only lost two at home in 11, conceded only 8 goals at the Liberty as well. Chelsea are the better side on paper, but at Swansea, you don't often get the ball. You know what I mean? It might only be a mid-table side, but you don't have to keep the ball well. It limits the chances, obviously, because of that, of the opposition. I'm doing a cautious column here. I'm not going to go for Swansea at sixes, but two of the last three matches at the Liberty between these two sides have finished 1-1, and I can see Swansea with a goal start here making it pay. 11-8, Swansea plus a goal. Like City, I'm just not quite sure about Chelsea at the moment. And a few weeks ago, I'd have said City and Chelsea were miles clear of anybody in the league. But I've been watching them recently, and Newcastle could have given them a bloody nose last week.
Yeah.
They were snotted by Tottenham. Are they as good as... My doubts about Diego Costa remain, by the way. I seem to be the only one in the country, but I'm pretty sure I'll be proven right. I normally am. I'm going to go for Swansea plus a goal start here.
Okay, 11-8, Swansea plus one.
I was looking at... I'm waiting for the Champions League markets to come up, just on the subject of Costa at Hills, because I noticed there was a decent... He hasn't scored a goal in the Champions League, which might play into Derek's argument that he's not good enough to. I think there's 4 or 5 Chelsea players have all got 2 goals each so far. But in the knockout stages last year, Costa scored 4 goals. He scored against AC Milan and Chelsea when they knocked them out in the semi-finals. And I was looking around, and he's a pretty big price to be Chelsea's top scorer. Bearing in mind he's scoring for fun in the Premier League, has about the same sort of chances. So I've asked the traders for a price on Costa to be Chelsea's top Champions League scorer. Hopefully by Monday we might have one. But it's worth looking at that.
Yeah.
Who's better, him or Falcao, Derek?
Oh, Jesus! What a question. I'd have to give it to Costa, I'm afraid. Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, Falcao, I mean, the news that he's going to leave, by the looks of things, Man United in the summer, it's stunned absolutely no one. I mean, because he's just been an awful signing, hasn't he?
Been terrible.
And plus, from a journalist point of view, though, you got to like Costa more just for the headline opportunities.
Yeah. Well, Falcao has a few, for us inventive sub-editors.
I can think of one. Leicester versus Stoke next. Leicester is 13-8. The draw is 21-10. Stoke 9-5. Headline offers here. Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win is 4-1. Peter Crouch to score and Stoke to win is also 4-1. In the reverse fixture, Derek, back in September, Leicester beat Stoke 1-0. They scored, actually, with their only shot on target in that game. They do come into this in a decent run of form, having won 3 of their last 4, and that run includes that comeback against Liverpool Anfield as well.
Yeah, well, they were excellent, and they should never have been 2-0 down anyway with 2 terrible penalty decisions for Liverpool. Yeah, I thought they were nailed on to go down, Leicester, but they've done more than expected in the last 4 games. Beaten Hull, Newcastle and Villa. Well, Newcastle game was a cup game, wasn't it? It doesn't really count. But Hull and Villa, okay. I think Stoke are a bit of a different proposition, though, to those two sides. Bit disappointed in Stoke last week against Arsenal, but before that, they'd put a great run together, and I think they're a decent price here. I don't think Leicester should be favourites for this game. I'm going to go give Stoke another try to make up for that disappointment performance against Arsenal. I think they're a decent price here, Stoke.
Stoke 9-5 for Derek. I agree. I think Stoke look good price here at 9-5, Lee.
I think I like the draw most of all. With Stoke, you know, like at the start of the season, I thought Stoke, you know, and I said it quite a lot, you know, Stoke are a better away side than they are at home. They haven't really carried on with that. You know, they like to use counter-attacking football and use pace on the break. And I just, the problem for them is I don't think they've got the finishers in the team to, you know, you've got to have finishers. You've got to have a player who will grab your goal and you can sit on it. And they haven't, just haven't got that, I don't think, Stoke. You look at their away from home, their shots on goal and on target. The 17th in shots on goal and 15th in shots on target. Not, you know, they don't score many at all on the road. I think they scored three in the last five away from home, Stoke. Leicester are exactly the same. You know, one of the chaps who works here, Derek Bradley, he's actually the pitch announcer at Leicester on his Saturday job, if you like. And he's not one of those kind of fans who will gloss over stuff. He tells you as it is. He's backed them for relegation before the start of the season, for instance. And he was saying that that game against Villa, they should have scored six, Leicester. Yeah. He said Nugent had so many chances. Now,
Villa are terrible, though, Lee.
Yeah, they are terrible. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. They should have beaten them more than 1-0. Yeah. They scored one against Villa. Why will they score any more against Stoke, who are obviously a better defensive side? I'm going for a 1-1 draw here. The draw and both teams to score is 16-5. I don't mind that because, you know, you obviously got the 2-2 on your side as well there. But the draw at 21-10. I think Leicester have improved. I think I don't think Stoke have quite got the firepower to get rid of Leicester here. So a draw and a 1-1 if anyone wants to be brave.
Okay, let's move on to Burnley versus Crystal Palace. Burnley 6-4, the draw 11-5, Crystal Palace 19-10. Lee, the Pardew factor, the Alan Pardew factor, got a good airing last weekend, didn't it? It came from a goal down at White Hart Lane to win 2-1. This is going to be a real scrap, isn't it, this one against Burnley, who are one of the most dogged sides in the league. The key to their performances has been consistency on the team sheet as well. They fielded the same starting 11 in seven successive Premier League games now. That's obviously helping them. It's just whether or not playing that much football catches up with these players.
Probably will in the end, I suppose. And he's obviously, he's got them going, hasn't he? And that's great. That's great news. Obviously, the cup defeat in midweek, they took the lead there, didn't they, against Tottenham? Lost 4-2 in the end. They're going great. I mean, typically, I said last week, they've not scored more than one goal in any match at home this season. They're going to do it against QPR, of course. But, I mean, will they do that again? I'm not so sure. Palace are interesting. I mean, Pardew is... he's got Sonogo on loan this week, hasn't he? Who, you know, I think by Pardew's own admission, isn't the greatest player in the world. I think he said something quite nice about him, like, you know, he needs time in the Premier League and we'll give him more time. I just wonder if, you know, with a new lease of life at a new club, if he'll be worth a look if he gets a game. I mean, their goal scoring record is shocking. Crystal Palace away from home. This is why I thought they'd go down at the start of the season. They've only scored one goal in the last five matches. And they had been scoring goals. They scored three at Newcastle, three at Everton, two at West Brom. So it hasn't all been bad this season. But they need goals from somewhere, as do Burnley. They've only got nine at home all season. This Saturday afternoon looks terrible in terms of goals, if I'm right, which, you know, luckily for most people watching, I'm not often. But I'm looking at unders again here and a really tight game. I could go for another draw and unders here. I could have a draw and under 2.5 treble on the Saturday afternoon fixtures. The draw is 11-5. That's the biggest price of the three, and I like it a lot. I see no reason to look elsewhere, really.
I think you're right there, you know. I can't see goals in this game at all. I mean, you know, there's always one game that screams 0-0 on a coupon, and this is it. I mean, you're right about the Saturday games. Well, they've already cancelled match of the day.
No, Robbie's on.
You know, whatever the three results happen, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? But the draw is the biggest price, and you can see both. I wouldn't say a draw would be a bad result for either side. You know, if they come finish 0-0, I don't think either of them will be sick.
I'd love someone to do some research on how the mentality changed, how many draws you see in these kind of games, in relegation games after Christmas, because we're in mid-January. I mean, talking about Everton earlier on, Everton have 3 points of the relegation in mid-January. You know, if they don't win this game, then suddenly it's February and they're still down there.
Yeah,
the fear of losing must become more prevalent than the hope of winning
as you get close to the end of the season, well, wouldn't you?
It probably does, Lee, for the likes of Burnley and Palace. But yeah. If you're an Everton fan and you're hanging on for a draw in 72 minutes at Goodison, at home to West Brom, you want to hear what the Everton fans will be saying.
Wouldn't be happy, would they?
Yeah.
If you read, we talked about Everton earlier, but if you read a lot of their forums at the moment, they're particularly downbeat about Martinez right now. Yeah. There's so much pressure on him, which is interesting. And if they do lose to West Brom at home at the weekend, he's going to be lucky to still be in that job on Monday.
I don't know. I mean, what's the fact? I said that in the week to someone, and everyone said, "Oh no," but you know, the chairman, he's very loyal. 10-1 he is next manager to leave.
It's not a bad bet. I suppose you've got Redknapp and we'll come on to Paul Lambert in a second, because Redknapp's 6-5 favourite in that next Premier League manager to leave market. Lambert's 5-1/3 favourite. His Aston Villa at home against Liverpool at Villa Park on Saturday afternoon. Aston Villa 100-30. The draw 23-10. Liverpool 10-11. I don't know how Lambert's still there, Derek. He has got an understanding chairman, but they've only got 11 goals in 21 Premier League matches. Loss away at Leicester made it one goal in the last six in the Premier League. They failed to score in the last four. They're down with the dead men, and he still appears to be safe.
Yeah, well, it's because he accepts what the chairman says without murmur. You know, and that's why the fans are so upset, because he hasn't had any money to spend, lowest wage bill, and he doesn't say, come on, this is ridiculous. He just happy to hang on to his job and get paid. And the fans ain't going to like that. Aren't they going to leave their seat empty for 8 minutes, the first 8 minutes on Saturday? Because that will mark 8 years that Randy Lerner's been in charge. I mean, the ones who aren't, most of them are gutted that he hasn't been in charge for 90 years. They wouldn't have to show up then. I can't. How could you possibly back Villa in this game, even though they're like 100-30 in a home match in the Premier League? They just don't score goals. Every match it looks as though they're happy to draw 0-0. And Liverpool haven't done too much wrong in recent weeks, have they? Getting some good results together. I think Sterling's back. They've got a great record at Villa Park. I think they've only lost one of their 17 visits there. It's got to be a Liverpool win, isn't it? I mean, you know, isn't it amazing? If Liverpool were evens here, I'd be thinking, I'd be licking my lips. What a bet that is. But because of the shade under evens, 10-11, the psychological factor, you think, odds on away. But they're going to win this, Liverpool, certainties.
10-11 Liverpool to win it at Villa, who are 100-30. The draw 23-10. Raheem Sterling, by the way, part of the headline offer. Him to score and Liverpool to win is in the market at 5-2. Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, another low scorer, I think. I mean, I think Liverpool will go there and just try and control the game. They did that at Burnley, didn't they? Did it at Sunderland, got away with 1-0 wins on both occasions. I think Liverpool kind of play the same kind of style away from home that Aston Villa would like to play. You know, that just they keep the ball. I mean, at home, Aston Villa, they keep the ball. You know, they're happy to just, you know, pass it around. I mean, it's so dull. Is it Pat Murphy, the Five Live reporter, who does a lot of Midland stuff, pretty curmudgeonly sounding guy? I mean, he asked Paul Lambert in a press conference, like, you're a boring team to watch, aren't you?
Because
Pat Murphy's been around longer than any manager. You know, he's been around forever. He's one of those. I couldn't understand the answer, to be fair. it was something like, it's like, now Fergie's retired. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take over Fergie's voice.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't want to be heard by the media, so you just go into this kind of...
Wenger's like that. Whenever Arsenal lose, he goes into blue, you know, his French accent, it's impenetrable. But when he wins it, overall, you can understand him.
Pochettino was the master of that, though, wasn't he? I mean, he finally had to start speaking English, but he didn't speak English for an entire season for the press, but was taking training in English. Fantastic. I was listening to Five Live again, and Robbie was on 6 of 6 with Darren Fletcher. And Darren Fletcher's a big NFL fan, and they had some Villa fans on going crazy, and he said, why are you surprised about this? Do some research and look at what Randy Lerner did with his American football team. I think the Cleveland Browns, wasn't it? He said he did nothing, injected, you'll tell me if I'm right about that.
Yeah.
He did nothing. He put no money in, the acquisitions were poor. He said it was just like Villa is. You know, they finished 15th, 15th, 16th in the last three seasons. They finished with 38, 41 and 38 points. What have they done in the transfer market to improve things?
Yeah.
They haven't done anything, have they? Benteke hasn't had a full pre-season because of injury. That's unlucky, obviously. But, I mean, it just seems very a very strange club at the moment with no oomph at all. I'm going Liverpool to win and under 2.5 goals. I think they'll win to nil, either 1-0 or 2-0. Don't see them conceding. Don't think Benteke's in good enough form. So yeah, I'll stick with that. Another unders on the goals, unfortunately. But yeah, Liverpool to win and under 2.5.
Liverpool to win and under 2.5 goals in the match is in the betting at 13-5.
Derek, what have you heard about? I mean, there's quite a lot of rumours about either Lavezzi or Cavani going to Liverpool in the January window. Have you heard anything?
No, nothing. Yeah, I'm sick of hearing rumours about who's coming, and nobody ever does, do they? I don't believe it. You know, when you read on the Sunday papers as well, all the hot news and that, must be 1 in 100 comes off.
Ah, they're just filling column inches, aren't they, really, to be fair? But the reason I ask is because when I was looking this week, do you know how many goals Barini, Lambert and Balotelli have got between them in the Premier League this season?
It'd be minus figures, I think.
It must be
I'll
two.
I'll give you a clue. You've almost got the same amount.
Okay, one then.
Yeah, one goal in the Premier League between those three. Scandalous. Yeah, for three professional footballers. How have they only got one goal between them?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They need a striker in this January window.
Well, some people still desperate. Think Balotelli's going to come good. There seems to be a campaign to get him back in that starting lineup, as if he's not been given any chance, Derek.
I know. Well, he's the biggest. I mean, Joey Bart mentioned this a few weeks ago. He is the biggest myth in football. What has he done? What did he do at City? What did he do when he was on loan to the whoever it was, AC Milan recently? He's done nothing. He scored a goal against England in the World Cup, and that's gained him another 2 years on his career. He'll be out of football in a year or two.
When side with Mario just for a second. The only spell he's had was when he first went to Milan. He had a really, really good finish to the season. But other than that, though, you're absolutely right. But I suppose he looked all right when Sturridge was with him. And maybe they're thinking if they get someone in, you know, of the quality of a Lavezzi or a... Because Lavezzi's not... I was looking at his stats as well. Liverpool fans thinking, oh, yeah, Lavezzi. Remember, he was a good striker about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, he's gone off the boil. It was crap at the World Cup. He's never scored double figures in a domestic league season in his career.
Yeah.
Well...
Which is, you know, he's not prolific. He's a he's a good striker. He'll bring other players in. So maybe they're thinking, you know, bring someone like that in and he'll score goals with them. But strange one.
Tottenham versus Sunderland next. Tottenham are 8-13. The draw 13-5. Sunderland 5-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 6-4. Stephen Fletcher to score and Sunderland to win 9-1. 2-2 in the reverse fixture. Lee, back in September. Worth noting, though, that Sunderland only had one shot on target in that match and still drew two apiece.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
It's a ricochet, I think.
Yeah, Harry Kane on goal, wasn't it, in the end? Spurs have to bounce back from that loss at Crystal Palace, though, while Sunderland, they've only picked up 1 point from their last four in the league.
Yeah, but they've got a little bit of a formula, haven't they, for going away and keeping it tight. They had all those clean sheets. Tottenham had two 0-0 draws in the last five games as well. I think it went 2-1, 0-0, 2-1, 0-0, 5-3 against Chelsea. The better players have had a rest in midweek and they changed it around and they still beat Burnley in the FA Cup. I think Tottenham win this. I thought, you know, I don't know if there's no Jermaine Defoe in the scorers list for Sunderland, but that's a great mug bet. I'm sure Jermaine Defoe has got some sort of sensational record on debut against his former clubs. I mean, there's enough of them, to be fair. He scored 11 in 19 for Toronto last season, so he's still scoring goals, obviously at a lesser level.
I love that description. You said great mug bet. What a great description, that is.
Well, we always call it that. You know, someone who's had a baby or, you know, it's their birthday. They're always doing that cradle thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe everyone's having babies and we only see the ones who score. But yeah, scoring against your former club, if he popped, I'd like to have a little go on that.
Yeah,
if they're going to put him in the team, DK, they're going to be a bit more attacking, surely.
Yeah, I think they would have to be, wouldn't they? I'm not buying it. Jermaine Defoe back again. I just don't see him having an impact. Do you think so?
I think so. Yeah, I may be biased because I watched a documentary. I think I texted you the day. I watched a documentary on him and he came across very well. He's had a lot of problems off the pitch with some awful tragic circumstances, and I don't know if he's just a bit nice and never really got moved up that
no
next
killer
level.
Instincts.
He's
maybe.
He's a great finisher. When you look at the goals that he's scored, all the managers who've worked with him say he's a brilliant finisher, but maybe he hasn't got the ruthless streak.
11 in 19, though, for Toronto, Derek. That doesn't translate to scoring goals in the Premier League, does it?
No, it's non-league football, isn't it? It is, and he's coming back here. He's basically had a sabbatical. Tottenham will win this one. It's 5-1 it was last year. Yeah. I watched Sunderland last week against Liverpool, and it was only 1-0, but it could have been 5 or 6-0, and they couldn't have complained. I can't remember a chance they created. And yet, then a few weeks ago, they went to Man City and gave City a big scare, didn't they, in that 3-2 defeat. Premier League is getting harder and harder.
It's a very difficult game, isn't it?
Tottenham will win this, but I can't back. I'm going to go for your headline offer, Harry Kane. I'm religious. My religious instincts tell me I can't back Tottenham or odds on. That's one of the main tenets of it.
I love Kane
to score and Tottenham to win 6-4. That'll do me.
How many commandments are there in that book that you've got there?
There's the 3-1 away from. I know a few of them.
The only one is love thy neighbour, but don't get caught.
Superb. Final match this weekend: QPR versus Manchester United. QPR 9-2. The draw 13-5. Manchester United 4-6. Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win is 7-1. That's a headline offer. Angel Di Maria to score and Manchester United to win 3-1. Derek, at this point last season, David Moyes was being pilloried, wasn't he? There seems to be a sense of belief, though, that under Louis van Gaal, things work, despite the fact that he's picked up exactly the same number of points as David Moyes had at this stage last season, and they've scored one less goal. Maybe the fans believe he'll have more of a significant pull in the transfer market, but there doesn't seem to be the negativity. Well, there definitely isn't the negativity there was towards David Moyes.
I know, and you wonder why. I mean, Moyes didn't get the money to half the money, well, a quarter of the money to spend, Flatface has spent, and yet, you know, he's got an equally poor record. I can't believe there hasn't been any calls for his head. But then again, he'd want a head like that. A team worth $274 million last weekend, plus loose change if you include Chris Smalling. You didn't get a single shot on target. I mean, what is? Everyone goes on about his philosophy. What is it? You know, to bore people to tears. That said, they're going to win this one.
Because, Derek, you're not going for them at 4-6, are you? Away from home. This is unheard
QPR,
of.
It's QPR, isn't it? And I'm a big fan of Harry Redknapp, but he is in big trouble because it was going to be their home form keeping them up. And you look at their recent home form, it's diabolical. You know, 3-0 at home to Sheffield United in the Cup, 0-0 at home to Palace, 1-1 at home to Swansea. I mean, that's not going to keep them up. I hate to say it. I'm almost kicking my ankle with my other foot here, but I'm going to go for United at 4-6.
Okay, 4-6 Manchester United for Derek Lee.
Yeah, well, I'm with Man United. I think this could be a high scorer. You know, as Derek mentioned, that this lauded home form has drifted. We've spoken a few times about what they've got to come after Man United. They've got Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham, Newcastle at home until the end of the season. So if they can't replicate their away form, their home form away from home from now on, they're down. Because where are they going to get the points from? But I think they must realise that they have to go for this. They can't sit in. They have to go for the win. In terms of stats, they're actually one of the highest teams for shots on goal and shots on target. 18 shots a game they have at home, and 5 shots on target a game. The interesting thing for me, though, is that if they play like that, I think Man United will pick them off because they're also top of the table. That shows how many shots you allow your opponents. They allow their opponents, on average at home, 16 shots a game. That's worse than Burnley and Villa and Leicester and all the other teams who are struggling at the moment. So I think they'll go for it, but I think Man United will pick them off. It's a shame that Van Persie's not playing for the purposes of this Bex. I think they need Van Persie and maybe Di Maria and up there. Falcao will probably play in this one, and you know, I'm not sharing all this negativity about how bad he is. He's had injuries, he hasn't had the chances. But, I mean, you know, in terms of goal scorers...
He played five consecutive... He started five consecutive Premier League matches. He's only scored one goal.
He wasn't like he was, you know, just strolling around like Berbatov or something. He was having chances. He was getting in good positions.
But he's a £45 million striker.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a great buy. I'm just saying I don't think he's quite as bad as everyone's making out. It's where to find the value in this match, really. Because I can't back them at 4-6, unfortunately. But I'll take Man United to win and over four or more goals in a match, which is the second offer. That's 11-4.
Okay,
I think it could be like a 3-2 here to Man U.
Okay, Manchester United 4-6 away at QPR, who are 9-2. The draw 13-5. Let's talk about the naps then, fellas.
No, let's not.
Have you got the numbers in terms of the standings in the, in the next table?
You're on. I'm bottom. £90.84. Derek's got £95.75, and you're on £116.
Yeah.
As a reminder, everyone moans about it. In fact, DK used to moan about this. It's funny. It's a bit quieter now. You get your tenner stake back with a winner.
You do. You do.
Just it's only to massage. There's no pretense about it. It just makes us look better.
Well, I don't see why you don't. If you lose your tenner with a loser, why shouldn't you get your tenner back stake?
That's what I say, though. No one listens. It's only me and you who think this is right.
Yeah.
Which I worry about that, I must admit.
it's logical, isn't it?
Well, someone complained on Twitter. I think I said the other week, and I said, well, give your tenner back to William Hill then when you win.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. That's a fair point. Derek, your nap then this week? It's tough, isn't it? It's a tough week.
Hard week.
Well, there's no certainties, apart from Liverpool, I think, at Villa. I'm not too short. The speculative ones, which always float my boat. I'm thinking the Hull at 4-1 to win at West Ham.
West Brom was another one, yeah.
West Brom 7-2. I noticed Arsenal have shortened. They were 17-5 when we began talking. And now they're 3-1 to win at Man City. I'm going to go for Arsenal, 3-1 to win at City.
Okay, Arsenal 3-1. To win at City. I was going to go for City to win against Arsenal, so I'll leave that one. Lee, your bet?
I am going to go for Manchester United to win and Falcao to score.
You're not, are you?
My goodness.
What price is that?
Finally cracked.
8-5.
That's
scored in both away games.
Unbelievable.
The last two away games, they scored a goal. Scored at Stoke, scored at Villa. Obviously, he needs to play, but I think he will because Van Persie looks like he is out. If he's out and people can't have that bet, I'd just play the over 3.5 in the match. But that's my nap. Man United to win. Can I have that as part of a treble?
No. We're about to... No, I don't think you can.
Ah, that's a shame. Okay, for the purpose of this then, because you can't have it in a treble, I'll go for over 3.5 goals in the match at 2-1.
Okay, over 3.5 goals in the QPR match.
If either win, do I get paid out?
Is 2-1.
I'll put that in.
For the purpose of the table, it's a better price. Yeah. Over 3.5 goals QPR versus... I don't want you mourning, though, if Falcao scores Manchester United.
I'll just gloat about it.
Over 3.5. That's 2-1. I'm going to go with Stoke to win at Leicester, which I like this week at 9-5. I do like that. I think Leicester are overrated in that market, and without Mahrez and Schlupp, as I mentioned last week, I don't think they're a good side. So that treble, 32.6-1. Arsenal 3-1, over 3.5 goals QPR versus Manchester United at 2-1, and Stoke to win at 9-5, 32-1.
Very nice.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
One of those has got
pleasure,
an answer,
pleasure.
One is going to land eventually. And thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Cheers, Derek.
See you later, lads.
And thanks to everyone for listening to the Pump Podcast. Remember, you can get us on audioboom.com as well. And you can subscribe to the Pump Podcast via iTunes. We'll speak again next week, folks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.